Good morning and a very warm welcome to Apprentice People Podcast, the show that takes you through the latest cyber landscape. Today, we'll be speaking about the complex world of personal finance. In today's episode, we take a deep dive into a chilling narrative that could happen to anyone at any time. Meet Kim, a successful freelance graphic designer. Kim has always been careful with her personal information, but one day she begins to receive strange emails and phone calls. These messages claim that she's overdue on payments for loans she never took out. At first, she dismisses them as scams, but then she receives an official letter from a bank about a loan. Kim is baffled, as she has never taken a loan from this bank. Join us today as we unravel Kim's story, exploring the dark concerns of financial fraud and the devastating impact of identity theft. Our experts will be answering the pressing question, how can individuals protect themselves from identity theft and what should they do if they become a victim? Before we get started, we have Lewis with us, who will give us a quick news rundown of the latest cyber happenings. Over to you now, Lewis.
Thank you, Emin. Firstly, we have a new CRT exam. It's available in 70 countries, and basically it's what will help people get onto Czech work. Basically, they've just remade it, so it's now designed to reflect current pen test practice, so it's more up to date and it's just more accurate. Which is great for sort of raising the bar for cybersecurity. Secondly, we have the Residia ransomware group. They have just been involved in attacking the British Library, and they have also, they're stating that they're auctioning off passports and such on the black market.
Do they know who was behind this attack?
Yeah, so it's the Residia ransomware gang.
Oh, okay.
They're the people that came forward and put their hands up and said, we did this.
Oh, so they admitted to it?
They admitted to it.
Are they looking at any jail time?
It's hard to say as of yet, as it's so fresh and recent. It's probably quite hard to find the people behind it.
So it'll take a lot of investigation.
A lot of investigating. Currently, it is said that there's a passport on the black market for, a scan of a passport going for $600,000, I think it was. Yeah, it was a crazy amount of money.
It is. Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you very much.
And now it's time to welcome our experts onto the podcast. Please welcome Jacob and Greg. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be here.
Hi, everyone.
How are you both doing today?
Good, good. And yourself?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
I'd like to give Greg a big shout out for graduating last week. Congratulations, Greg.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So, to set the stage, let's revisit the story of Kim, a successful freelance graphic designer who found herself in the middle of a terrifying financial nightmare when her personal information was used to take out loans she knew nothing about. So, guys, one pressing question I'm sure our listeners are wondering is, in Kim's case, her personal information was used to take out loans. So, how might this type of identity theft occur and what can be done to prevent it? Jacob, shall we start with you today?
Yeah, I mean, Your identity is one of your most valuable assets, I think. And, you know, if it gets stolen, there are a lot of consequences that can come from it. I mean, in terms of losing money, can be difficult to get loans after that and pulling out new credit cards and mortgages. So I think to start with the first one, I mean, how can your personal information be leaked? I mean, data breaches, I think that's one of the first ways it can happen. Phishing scams. And social engineering, I think those are the main three ways that you can lose your personal information.
So it's clear that the theft is a complex issue. Thanks, Jacob, for your expertise on this and to help us understand this topic in a way that's both approachable and actionable at the same time. Thank you. Any comments you'd like to add, Greg?
No, I completely agree with everything Jacob said.
And in light of your advice, it seems paramount that we all take proactive measures to safeguard our personal information. I mean, regularly monitoring our financial accounts, investing in reliable identity protection services, and being cautious about where and how we share our personal information online and who we share it with. Because I think those are all crucial steps in this process. Now let's shift our focus to another unsettling aspect of Kim's story. Imagine one day out of nowhere, you start receiving notifications about loans or credit cards that you didn't apply for. The confusion, the anxiety, the panic. It's a scenario no one wants to find themselves in. Greg, can you tell us what someone should do if they start receiving notifications about loans, credit cards that they didn't apply for, like Kim did?
Yeah, of course. I think when people receive these sort of messages, they either lean one way or the other on how they react, and that's either they feel panicked by it, or I think people can tend to be quite dismissive of things like that. I think it's important to try not to react in either of those ways, to stay calm with it. Sort of one of the first steps that you can take is to contact the financial institution that the emails and the stuff are coming from, and speak to them about it. You can also sort of get in touch with the credit reference agencies and request a protective registration on your account, which can make it harder to open new accounts in your name. And sort of final to that, you can file a police report. The crime reference number that you can get from the police and the fact that you've reported it with them can help to support your case with creditors down the line.
And I think you can report to the Action Fraud as well. So they are the UK's National Fraud Reporting Centre, which is quite useful.
Yeah, identifying the right steps to take immediate action can be crucial in limiting the damage done. Now let's go in deeper with Kim's situation. So after the initial shock of these unwarranted notifications, Kim began to suspect she was a victim of identity theft, a realisation that unfortunately many people might face even today. In such a situation, identifying the right steps to take immediate action can be crucial in limiting the damage and starting the recovery process, like you mentioned, Jacob. But what exactly are those steps? Can you talk us through the steps that Kim should have taken immediately after suspecting she was a victim of identity theft? Because I know she didn't suspect anything at first. She just left it until she received an official letter from her bank.
I think firstly, you contact your bank. I mean, that's the first thing that you do if you come across this situation. And then I think you go to the police and you go to the Action Fraud Centre and report it to them.
Now let's discuss something more crucially equal, safeguarding personal information, specifically sensitive data like national insurance numbers. In this digital age, data breaches are an unfortunate reality that can expose such critical information, leading to potential misuse and identity theft. So how can individuals ensure their personal information, such as national insurance numbers, aren't exposed in data breaches?
So I'll take this one.
I've got nothing.
They can use such strong, unique passwords to make it more difficult to gain access to accounts. We can do things like enabling two-factor authentication so that even if sort of accounts, passwords and stuff are compromised, there's still another layer in there. So it's just an added layer of security. You should be really cautious with who you're sharing your personal information with. So over phone calls and stuff for people that maybe you think you're talking to one person, you could be talking to somebody else who's trying to get that information from you. So be cautious with that.
I mean, it's clear that safeguarding our personal information, especially sensitive data like national insurance numbers, other personal information, requires a proactive and diligent approach. Before we continue with our discussion, we're going to take a short break to let you all process all the information we have spoken so far. Be sure to follow our Spotify channel to keep up to date with the latest podcasts. In this break, we'll go across to Greg, who will give us a career bite. Keep listening. If you want advice, the main podcast will start after this.
When I left school at 15,
Left school at 15?
Yeah, left school at 15.
After GCSEs, is that?
No, before.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So I left school with nothing.
Really? Wow.
Just got into working, started working and stuff, and then, just didn't use IT at all all the way through my career.
Wow.
And then literally picked cybersecurity out of a, pragmatic point of view of there's going to be jobs in it for...
Yeah.
Well, definitely for the foreseeable, it's not going to go away. It's only going to get bigger.
That's good.
It's a good career. And then, so sort of pursued getting into uni for that. I had to do a year before uni because I didn't have any
qualifications. Did
you do a bachelor's? Yeah. So I had to do an access to higher education course first.
Okay. Oh, is that because no GCSEs?
Because I had no GCSEs or A-levels.
That's a good route, though, I think.
So it's like a foundation level.
Almost. It's like an A-level. I think it's all your A-levels crammed into 1 year,
right?
Equivalent.
Mm.
So I did that in IT and then went and did cyber at Sheffield afterwards.
Right.
But yeah, so it wasn't really until I started doing that that I sort of started getting an interest in what we've got. Obviously, like, you hear about it and stuff before. Like, it's interesting.
Welcome back, Tech Biters. So let's dive back into our conversation with our expert panel. Kim, a diligent individual who has fallen victim to identity theft, despite her best efforts to safeguard her personal information, the question that arises now is, how should victims like Kim report the identity theft to law enforcement agencies and financial institutions?
With the action fraud, I think it's similar to question two.
Yes.
Contact your bank immediately and contact the police, and you also contact Action Fraud, the UK National Fraud Reporting Centre.
Yeah?
Yep.
But how often should we be changing these digital keys to our personal information and financial information, and what exactly constitutes a strong and a secure password?
I mean, it's like you said previously about changing your passwords is no longer becoming the most secure thing to do. And I think personally, when it comes to passwords, having a password manager makes a massive difference. I mean, we all use one here, don't we?
One password?
Yeah. And I think having one memorable password, which is really strong, and then the rest being completely random, is more secure than having one quite weak password across all your accounts. I mean, what's your opinions?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think the amount of things that we have accounts on nowadays, it's not possible for somebody to remember an individual strong password for each and every account. I mean, a lot of people, they might have 20, 30, 40 accounts that they have to remember these accounts for. So, like Jacob said, to have one strong password and then a password manager that has genuinely sort of random and unique passwords in it is a far better solution than trying to remember these.
And I also think we forget about probably one of the most important things with online accounts today is also two-factor authentication, which is sort of your second line defense against if your password gets breached. You have this also to prevent somebody getting into your account.
Yeah, I think something else that we can do as well is sort of periodically we can check and monitor whether any of our accounts have been involved in data breaches. So you can use a resource like haveibeenpwned.com.
Haveibeenpwned.com.
And it's a site where you can go on, you can put your account in, so you can put your email address in, and it'll search through data leaks and stuff to see whether it's your account or your email address has been involved in any known data leaks.
I didn't know that. I'm going to make a note of that.
And yeah, another quite interesting one as well with monitoring is certain password managers, like I know Dashlane, LastPass and Keeper, all have data breach monitoring. So they actually look at the email accounts that you have within your password manager and check it against dark web and then tell you if you've had a breach in the last 6 months.
Wow.
So they have built-in tools for it as well, which is quite useful.
Yeah. I'd also like to talk about public Wi-Fi as well. What potential risks does it present when it comes to identity theft? I know a lot of consultants here don't like to use public Wi-Fi.
It depends what you're doing, to be honest. I mean, most modern applications use encryption, so I think the risks are much lower today, but I also still think it's safe to use a VPN to prevent things like tracking, and it hides your IP. It just gives you a private tunnel between you and what you're communicating with.
Yeah, again, second that. If you don't have a VPN, and if you are browsing around, keep an eye on whether you're sort of using HTTPS for the encryption.
Yeah.
A couple of other things. You can sort of turn off automatic connections so that your phone doesn't sort of automatically connect to Wi-Fis and stuff without you knowing about it. And you can also select to forget networks after use so that your phone, again, doesn't just automatically reconnect to networks and that you're sort of not aware of that.
Yeah, and I think you should also be more careful about the actual Wi-Fi you're connecting to. Like, is it a reputable company? Are you connecting to a coffee shop, which you know it's going to be safe? You know, they're not going to steal your information. Or are you connecting to some random open Wi-Fi that who knows who owns it? Yeah. I think that's also important.
Yeah, good point there, guys. As technology and cyber threats continue to evolve, what do you think will be the biggest challenge in cybersecurity in the near future? And what steps can individuals take now to prepare for these potential threats?
I mean, that's a very big question as to where it might go.
Yeah.
Personally, I just think as technology progresses, we use it more and more and more in everyday life, and in all aspects of our lives. And this sort of presents a larger surface for potential risks and threats to evolve and develop. I think being aware of the security risks that are associated with the technology that we use and employing best practices is probably the best way to prepare for this.
Yeah, and I think some other examples are obviously ChatGPT has taken the world by storm the last year. I think a lot of the fake phishing emails that we receive, we can sort of determine that it's fake due to spelling mistakes. Whereas with ChatGPT, I think you can use it to write email addresses, which removes a lot of those mistakes which we normally look out for. So I think that's one area that we should be cautious of. And also deepfakes, which is also quite big in the news at the moment. People are, you know, faking voices and pretending to be relatives and calling up asking for money. I think that's also an area that we should be careful of. And at the moment, there is really no way of stopping it.
No, it's not.
Which is quite a concern. And I think in terms of the risks involved, I think the actual vendors and developers of these softwares need to implement more security against this.
And that is all the time we have for today's episode. I would like to say a big thank you to both of you, Greg and Jacob, for joining me on today's podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
I know I've learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. Our conversation today has not only shed a light on the complexities of the digital landscape, but also offered practical steps that each one of us can take to safeguard our online presence. It's clear that staying informed and proactive are key to navigating this ever-evolving digital world. Tech Biters, we hope you found this session as insightful and empowering as we did. Join me next week on another Tech Bite.